Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Are you tired and stressed out all the time? If you are, the reason might be is that you're trying to live your life on your own power, and God never intended for you to do that. Did you know that Jesus has an incredible offer for you? In Matthew 11:28, he says this, "If you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, come to me, and I will give you rest." That's about the greatest news anybody can imagine when you're feeling tired and fatigued and worn out. But you've got to take Jesus up on his offer. And how do you do that? By making it a priority each day to spend time with Jesus in prayer and reading the Bible. Let God talk to you and you talk to him. That's the connection point for the power. Every day you need a dose of God's daily hope. So let's get started right now by looking into God's Word together.
Today, on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Hope of Christmas. This will be the third and final part of the message called, What Gift Will I Bring to Jesus? It's taken from various portions of Scripture. But just before that, you know, so many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use or to share with a friend who needs to hear the message. And there are certain key messages that are asked for over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick asked us to put together the very first ever collection of his most requested teachings. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a blessing to you, a family member, or a loved one. You can get your copy of the most requested sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131. Now here's Pastor Rick with today's message.
When my sister and my brother and I were little, and we would have birthday party for Jesus, and it was kind of squirrely, and because we'd talk around and we'd sing some songs, Christmas songs, and then we would read the Christmas story. And then we would go around the room, and everybody in the room, young and old alike, would say two things. First, what I'm most thankful for this Christmas. What I'm thankful for to God from the last year. And then number two, what gift I'm giving Jesus for his birthday. What gift do I want to give my Lord, my Savior, for the next year? Now, when we kids were small and little, it was pretty simple. And pretty oftentimes comical. But as my sister and I and my brother grew up, those conversations became quite meaningful. And during teenage years, we would begin to talk about the things that were hurting us and the things that were helping us and the struggles we were facing and what we wanted to give to Christ in the new year, for the next year. And then as we got older, my sister, my brother and I, we all got married. Shondell and I had kids. And when our kids began to be little ones, it went fun again. It got kind of lighthearted. Now, it was serious for the adults. We would still share seriously. But the kids would share in their simple ways. And then as my kids began to grow up and they became teenagers, it got serious again. And all of a sudden, we were talking about things as a family once a year that we did not talk about at that depth, except in our birthday party for Jesus. And what we were going to give and what we were going to dedicate to the Lord, each of us in our hearts. And it was different every year. And now, my kids are having kids. And I'm back in the small fun stage again, where the little ones share what they want, and then the adults share in a more significant level. My question is, what are you going to give Jesus for his birthday? You know, my family tells me that I'm pretty difficult to buy for because I really don't have any needs. I don't have a lot of wants and whatever you want to get. Maybe you're like that and you're hard to find, hard to buy for, just whatever you want. What do you give Jesus for his birthday? What do you give the God who has everything? Well, actually, he doesn't have everything. There are four things he doesn't have unless you give them to him. And this is what I suggest if you want to be a wise man or a wise woman, you give Jesus these four things this Christmas on his birthday. You might write these down. Number one, if I want to give Jesus something that he doesn't have, number one, I give him my trust. I give him my trust. Because faith is a voluntary matter. Jesus doesn't have your trust unless you give it to him. And he's never going to force it. Do you really trust God? You see, you decide how much you're going to trust God. If you expect God to do a lot in your life this next year, he's going to do a lot. If you expect God to do a little in your life, he's going to do a little. If you don't expect God to do anything in your life, he's not going to do anything in your life. Why? Because every time God moves out of heaven and moves on earth, it's because somebody believes. Somebody trusts. God says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. What are you trusting God with in your life? According to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, the Bible says this in Psalm 50, verse 14. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble. And some of you are in trouble right now. I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so I can rescue you and you can give me glory. Did you know that a lot of times God knows the problem? Well, he always knows the problems you're getting walking into, and he doesn't stop you. He lets you go ahead and make that dumb mistake. And then you get into trouble, so then he can bail you out, and then you can praise him and trust him, and he gets the glory. Are you going to trust God in your trouble? Are you going to trust God in every other area of your life? If you don't give him your trust, he doesn't have it. Number two, second thing you can give Jesus for Christmas. I give him first place. I give him first place in my life because that's where he belongs. He is God. In fact, the very first commandment of the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, number one is, you shall have no other gods before me. Anything you put first place in your life that's not God becomes your God. And there's a word for God when it's not God. It's an idol. And that's the second command of the top ten. You shall have no other idols. An idol is anything you put in first place in your life that's not God. Your career can be an idol. Your girlfriend can be your idol. Making money can be an idol. Your hobby can be an idol. Your husband can be an idol. Your kids can be an idol. The Bible says, now there's nothing wrong with any of those things. They're all good. In fact, they're all gifts of God. You wouldn't have any of them if it weren't from God. So there's nothing wrong with any of those things. God just says they should not be in first place. Because whatever's in first place in your life is the center of your life. And if it's not God, you can lose it. And if you can lose it, your life falls apart. If you make your job and your career the most important thing in your life, when you lose your job, your life falls apart. If you make your bank account the most important thing in your life, when your bank account goes bankrupt, you lose your life. If you put somebody else in that place, you lose that loved one, your life falls apart. You must only have one thing in first place in your life, and that is the God who can never be taken from you. So you make him first place in your life. You give him first place. The Bible says, you shall have no other gods before me. You say, well, great, I want to do that. How do I do that? How do I put God first place in my life? I didn't do it this year. I was in first place a lot of times. There's other things were in first place. How do I put God in first place this next year? Well, let me give you a little practical acrostic. F-I-R-S-T. Write down these five words. First, here's how to put God first in your life. F is finances. Finances. I is interest. I put God first in my finances. He is the first place in my money. Then I give him first place in my interest. He's first place in what I'm interested in. R is relationships. I put God first place in my relationships. And I say, okay, God, you're number one. The safest place for a wife to be is knowing that she's number two in a husband's life. That God's number one. That gives enormous security.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called, What Gift Will I Bring to Jesus? In our series, The Hope of Christmas. And there's more great teaching coming right up, so stay with us.
So many people request copies of Rick's teaching every day for their personal use and to share with their friends. There are a few key messages that are so transformational that people request them over and over again. That's why Pastor Rick has asked us to put together the first ever collection of six of his most life-changing teachings. They include winning with the hand you're dealt, the amazing power of forgiveness, the skills of leadership, when your world collapses, how can I know God's will? And as an added blessing, Rick and Kay's personal testimony following the tragic loss of their youngest son. This very special 6-CD collection is sure to be a powerful source of inspiration for you, a family member, or a loved one. It's yours when you support this broadcast ministry today with a financial gift. Get your copy of the most requested sermons by Rick Warren, Volume 1, right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. When you support Daily Hope, you help bring the hope found in God's Word to people all around the world. Thanks so much for your prayers and your support.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
I put God first place in my relationships. And I say, okay, God, you're number one. The safest place for a wife to be is knowing that she's number two in a husband's life. That God's number one. That gives enormous security. Finances, interest, relationships. S, schedule. I put God first in my schedule. What does that mean? It means every day I give Him a part of my time. Even if it's just 5 minutes a day. God, I'm going to have 5 minutes a day where I sit down and I be quiet with You. And I read the Bible a little bit. I listen to a tape. Read a Christian book. And I talk to You and I be quiet and I listen to Your Word. And I say, is there anything You want to say to me? You're first in my schedule. You might want to just start the day right off the bat. Give Him the first day of every week, that's Sunday. Give Him the first part of your money, that's a tithe. Give Him the first time of part of every day, that's a quiet time. You put Him first. Finances, interest, relationships, schedule, and T, you put Him first in your troubles. What does that mean? It means when you get into trouble, the first thing you do is you go to God. You don't panic, you pray. You don't go talk to somebody else about it, you talk to God about it. You don't repress it or express it or suppress it. You confess it. You go first to God. Prayer becomes the first choice, not the last resort. No matter what you're doing, Lord, here's another problem. You just talk to Him all the time. And that's how you put God first in your life. Now, Jesus makes an amazing promise to anybody who does this. He says in Matthew 6:33, seek first, that means give Him first place, top priority, seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? That's God's plan and purpose for your life. Seek first God's plan and purpose for your life, what God wants to do in your life, and His righteousness. What's His righteousness? That's the character God wants to build in you. That's the kind of person He wants to make you. Say, God, I want Your plan, and I want to be the person You want me to be. Seek first His plan and purpose, and His who He wants you to be, and here's the promise, all the other things, circle all the other things will be given to you as well. Now that verse is either true or God's a liar, and it goes back to number one, will you give God your trust? Do you really believe that you could trust Him, that if you put Him first place in every area of your life, He'll take care of everything else? He'll sure remove a whole lot of worry from your life if you'll do that. I give Him my trust. I give Him first place. Number three, the third thing I can give Him, He doesn't have it unless I give it to Him. I give Him my heart. I give Him my heart. Now, I love this verse, Psalm 37, verse 5. Open up before God. Keep nothing back. And He'll do whatever needs to be done. I love this. He says, if I come to God and I say, God, I'm opening up my life to You. The good, the bad, the ugly. The stuff I'm ashamed of, the stuff I'm proud of. The ins and the outs, every little bitty bit. Every area of my life, God, it's all Yours. I'm totally open to You. God says, okay, then I'm going to do what needs to be done in your life. I promise. I will do what needs to be done in your life. You give him your heart. Now, what is your heart? Your heart is what you love. Your heart is what you value. Your heart are the things you care about most. The heart is what you treasure. It's your value system. How do I know if I've really given my heart to Jesus? Well, Jesus is very clear about this. Look at the next verse. He says, wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also. Whatever costs you is what you're going to value. Whatever you have to put out for financially, you're going to value. If you buy a car, all of a sudden you value that car, and you don't want to get dinged up because you put a lot of money into that car. Now, if it's on loan, you don't mind it getting dinged up. But you worry about it. If you put money into it, you care about it. If you buy a house, you care about that house. If you buy a piece of art, the more you pay for that art, the more you care about it. Jesus knew this. Whatever you treasure, where your treasure is, whatever you invest money in, that's what you're going to have your heart in. I couldn't care less about Hewlett-Packard Company. But if I bought some stock in it, I'd start caring about Hewlett-Packard being a successful company. Why? Because now I've invested in it. If I haven't invested any money, I couldn't care less about that company. But wherever I put my treasure, my heart is going to be there. Now, this is exactly what Jesus is saying to us. And this is what the wise men did. The wise men brought their gold to Jesus. They invested their treasure. It says they opened their treasures. Why? We want you to have our heart, Lord. Now, let me explain this to you. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. It's all his anyway. It wasn't your money before you were born. It's not going to be your money after you die. You just get to borrow it for 80 years. So really, the whole world, everything belongs to God. He just loans it to us for a while. So it's really all his. And here's what God says. Look on the screen. Hosea 6:6. God says, I don't need your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't need your offerings, God says. I want you to know me. Anytime we give an offering to God, God's not poor. God owns the universe. He doesn't need my money. He wants what it represents. Where my treasure is, my heart is. And I have found over 35 years that the more I give to God, more my heart is with him, not with myself. Wherever your treasure is, your heart is. And so you say, God, I give you my heart. And to symbolize that, I'm giving you part of my treasure. I'm bringing my gold to you. Now this Christmas, we're going to give our Christmas gifts to Jesus. What we all should do is figure out an amount that's really going to stretch me, that's going to force me to trust God. And you do two things. You figure out, do I want to give monthly, weekly, or annually? And then you decide an amount and you make it. It's not that hard. And you figure that out and you give to the Lord on Christmas. Problems have an amazing way of getting our attention. And God is trying to say, I love you. I'm here. I want you to trust me. I want you to know me. I love you. And I came to earth for you. Now, if you have not yet received Christ, look for that star. If you have already received Christ, you're already a believer. You've already met him face to face. Here's my question for you. Who are you guiding to Jesus this Christmas? What neighbor, what friend, what relative do you care enough about that you want them in heaven when they die? You see, this is the fourth thing that you can bring to Jesus. This is the fourth gift you can give. If I am wise, if I'm a wise man or a wise woman, I will bring Jesus my trust. I will bring Jesus my treasure. I will bring Jesus my heart. And I will bring to Jesus other people. That's the fourth thing. I bring others to Jesus. That's the fourth gift you can give that Jesus doesn't have. Because the number one thing that God wants is he wants a family. I challenge you to be a star. Be a light that guides somebody to Jesus at Christmas.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
One of the reasons I started this Daily Hope Bible study broadcast was to help underwrite what I believe is the greatest global mission initiative facing our generation. I call it the Final Frontier Project. It is taking the gospel to the final 2,900 tribes around the world, these people groups that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. This is why we are doing Daily Hope Broadcast. Because we believe there are people out there like yourself who have a vision for the Great Commission to make sure that everyone in the world has a chance to hear the gospel. I'm so excited to share with you that we've recently taken another giant step toward fulfilling the Final Frontier Project of the Great Commission. Recently, I took a team with me to Rwanda with over 100 delegates from 35 different nations around the world, 31 African nations, and delegates are leaders from China, India, Russia, and America, to come and watch the Rwanda model of the peace plan, to see how that nation has been transformed by the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ and the purpose-driven peace plan in that nation for 10 years. After that week of training, those people were so excited to go back to their nation. They said, we want to bring purpose-driven training and the peace plan to our nation on a national level so that we can help reach the unengaged, unreached people groups in our part of Africa. Did you know that since that happened, I've had 5 calls from African presidents saying, when are you going to bring the peace plan to our nation? Well, it can be done. It just takes funds. Here's a statistic that will surprise you. By the end of this century, 40% of all the world's population is going to live on one continent, Africa. 40% on one continent. And here's another statistic that will shock you. By the end of this century, 50% of all children in the world will live in Africa. That's why we must strengthen and deepen the churches of Africa today. We can do this, but I need your financial support. I can't express how much I appreciate how you've helped support this broadcast, but you're doing more than helping support the broadcast. When you give that just a little bit more, it helps us to take the gospel and take training to pastors all around the world, specifically this next year in the continent of Africa. Now, as you consider your year-end giving, would you please pray about sending a major gift to Daily Hope? Not for my benefit, but for the benefit of village pastors in 54 nations of Africa. And this month, your financial gift will be doubled because a generous friend of Daily Hope is so serious about expanding this broadcast. He's offered a matching donation and challenged friends like you to match it in full. That means every dollar you give to Daily Hope this month is going to be doubled, up to $50,000. So I want to ask you this. Would you not only make a major gift, but will you pray for us at Daily Hope and for the new year of 2015 and for the Final Frontier Project? And would you pray for the All Africa Continental Congress that I'll be leading for leaders from 54 nations that's going to happen in the new year of 2015? It's such a blessing to know that you're supporting, you're praying, and you're there with us. Would you email me, rick@rickwarren.org, and let me know of your support? Thanks for listening today, and thanks for supporting Daily Hope. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous support.